Good morning, and welcome to the Justice Report Weekend Review for May 12th to May 18th, 2024. This week, we'll be taking a look at the downstream effects of Israel's war on Gaza, which include violent attacks at major universities and some of the alarming actions made by those in power. We'll also zoom in on numerous cases of black crime, which continue to rock white communities in nearly every single region of the United States. All this and more on today's Weekend Review. Did you know that California's prestigious UCLA is the fifth largest employer in Los Angeles County? Just a few weeks ago, the school became known for another reason. Namely, it was the site of a brutal assault by outside agitators that some believe were tied directly to the military of a foreign country. More on that next.
This is the audio edition of the Justice Report's exclusive article, first published on May 15, 2024. Today's story: two Zionists behind a violent attack at UCLA include an IDF foot soldier and Israeli CEO, Los Angeles, California. On Tuesday, April 30th, anti-war protesters peacefully demonstrating on the campus of UCLA were subjected to a bloody attack by a gang of flag-waving Zionists. Using pepper spray, metal pipes, wooden boards, and fireworks, the assailants, many of them masked, were able to victimize protesters over the course of three long hours, with police merely standing by the wayside. A chilling video quickly spread on social media depicted one man wielding a wooden board, violently clubbing another man over the head numerous times before scurrying away. At the end of the one-sided melee, three people were said to have been nearly killed, with one man sustaining serious injuries to the scalp. Despite the severity of these crimes, no arrests have been made, leaving many to question the obvious double standard present in American law enforcement, as groups of violent Zionists skirt accountability for what could very well constitute an act of politically motivated terror in the American homeland. Thanks to the work of online sleuths, however, the identities of two of the most violent men seen in videos of the UCLA counter-protest have finally been identified. According to researchers, the men are Alon Abishur, the wealthy co-founder of a Zionist nonprofit seeking to court black support for Israel, and Aliran Bismut, an active member of the Israeli Defense Forces, whose brother was recently killed in Gaza by a resistance booby trap. Bismut, the man believed to be behind a savage attack that may have left a man with permanent brain damage, has so far skirted accountability for the crime. Sources close to the protest allege that the toupee-wearing Israeli national broke four fingers on the left hand of a 70-year-old woman and knocked another female protester unconscious with a closed fist. According to now private social media accounts, Bismut is an IDF foot soldier who can be seen pictured with weapons in hand at numerous locations inside Israel. Like many young Israelis, he appears to have been conscripted into the IDF alongside some of his closest family members. Eleran's millionaire brother, Staff Sergeant Adam Bismut, was said to have been one of 24 Israeli troops killed in action in the city of Khan Yunis after Palestinian resistance fighters detonated a booby-trap structure in January. He was credited as the CEO of Israeli AI development firm Sitebit, which received applause for its efforts in using AI to analyze computer video feeds. The other Zionist identified by online researchers was named as wealthy housing developer Alon Abishur. Abishur, who can be seen pepper-spraying and physically assaulting UCLA protesters on video, is listed as being the CEO or CFO for over four different nonprofit organizations located in Van Nuys, California, which, according to public records, all appear to be staffed by close family members. Alon and his brother, Shay Abishur, are listed as the two co-founders of the Love Israel Movement, aka the Love Israel Movement. The organization bills itself as melding Israeli Jews with American blacks to, quote, renew the 1960s blackish-Jewish relationship. A website for the NGO allows users to petition the U.S. government to stop sending humanitarian aid to war-torn Gaza under the auspices of stopping the, quote, Palestinian industrial complex. Other causes the Abishur's NGO champions include the spreading of Israeli kidnapped propaganda on freeway billboards, teaching others to be pro-Semitic, giving victims of imposed Sharia a platform to attack Islam, as well as strategies to dismantle systemic racism in marginalized communities. The Zionist activist currently works for the family-owned West Hollywood architectural design and development firm House of Shore, whose Instagram and website went private shortly after he was exposed as having been present at UCLA. He lives in a multi-million dollar palatial estate in Beverly Hills. Our unwavering commitment lies in shedding light on the extensive, decades-old, multi-billion dollar Palestinian industrial complex, read a mission statement on the Love Is Real movement's website. It falls upon us to wholeheartedly combat misinformation and racism through a range of social media campaigns and strategic advertising efforts. Simultaneously, we stand firm in our commitment to provide aid and essential supplies to terror victims in Israel and to Jewish communities worldwide, it continued. Once outed as having been allegedly tied to violence at UCLA by Antifa activist VPS reports, Abishur quickly lashed out, obtained his personal information, and doxed him. VPS claims Abishur published his residential address via social media purely in retaliation. Additionally, VPS says Abishur left him a chilling voicemail message on his cell phone. When played, a man with a nasally voice, believed to be Abishur, can be heard threatening to ruin the activist's credit score, break his face, and make other violent threats. Warning: due to repeated expletives, the following audio is not intended for young audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
You little fucking rat. You want us to ruin your fucking credit, you fucking dumbass bitch? You'll never buy a house, you fucking moron. You'll never be able to fucking get a phone again. I got mad shit set up for you. If you don't take down my Instagram post, you should move out of your fucking apartment, you little fucking piece of shit. I'll break your fucking face. I'll put your whole fucking social security number all over. You little fucking rat. I got your driver's license and I got your social security number. Take it down.
VPS also alleges that Abishur has a long history of violence tied to his personal adherence to Jewish Zionism. In October of 2023, VPS identified Abishur as having led a pro-Israel attack against peaceful demonstrators in California using bear mace and pepper spray. The activist says that Abishur had joined the pro-Palestine March Incognito, launching sprays of chemical weapons in the faces of women and children before taking flight. Elon Abishur started the clash by pepper spraying unarmed protesters indiscriminately, even though there were families and children present, alleged VPS reports on Instagram. As Israel's war in Gaza continues to grind on, so too does the increasingly tense domestic situation broiling in the United States. While some on the right have continued to applaud scenes of violent crackdowns and government overreach levied against their perceived political opposition, none can argue the bravery and moral confidence on display in the hearts of those opposing the genocidal state of Israel all across the country. For their efforts, pro-Palestine activists have been doxxed and smeared. Their main source of information, TikTok, is being forcibly curated at the behest of Israel. Republican senators are calling for their physical removal from public places. Their sit-ins are likened to gas chambers by the federal government. And now, soldiers of a foreign military are walking U.S. soil and attacking them with blunt force objects. Additionally, Zionist Jews who march out to oppose them can sometimes come across as undefeatable foes, appearing to have ironclad immunity from criminal prosecution. State and federal authorities have yet to lift a finger to prosecute Jews like Bismut, Abishur, and many others tied to Zionist ultraviolence. In fact, the phenomenon is part of a growing trend. In November, anti-fascist activists who protested a screening of the Israeli propaganda film Bearing Witness came under attack by a gang of fiercely loyal Zionist Jews. Two of the more violent individuals, later identified as 40-year-old Jonathan Beer Mug Cantro of Tarzana, California, and Arlen Mitnick, were a pair of Jewish skinheads against racial prejudice, a subsect of the far-left Antifa movement. Despite instigating the street clashes and issuing violent threats, the pair walked away without charges. The incident would serve as a grim foreshadowing of the state of the radical left in 2024 and highlight the widening divide between those who adhere to their ideological principles and the Zionist gatekeepers and grifters who have minded them all along.
The city of Chicago has often been dismissed as a place where violent crime is just part and parcel of daily life. But what happens when it strikes inside one of the Windy City's whitest neighborhoods? More, up next. A young father walking to work last Friday was shot and killed by what police say was a robber dressed in all black. The harrowing incident took place in a predominantly white neighborhood in northwest Chicago and was captured on a Ring doorbell camera. Chicago police canvassed the area in search of clues after a 24-year-old man was shot walking to a bus stop in Chicago's 55% white Dunning neighborhood, an area known as a hub for working-class families. To make matters worse, the victim was said to have another child on the way. Ring doorbell footage captured the exact moments the apparently white victim is accosted by another man dressed in black clothing. Police said the victim was robbed before an unidentified suspect fled the scene. The victim can be heard gasping for help as he lies powerless on the concrete. A female neighbor of the victim, interviewed by CBS2, said she rushed to his aid, using a sweatshirt to try to stop the bleeding. After being transported to Loyola University Medical Center, he died of his wounds. So far, both the victim and the suspects have been unidentified. Now, what are people saying about this? The neighbor who helped the victim broke down in tears as she recalled his final moments to a local news crew. She chose to remain anonymous out of personal safety. But others, including City Alderman Nick Sposato, say crime in the area has only increased. "I'm so sorry that he didn't make it, and I wish you would have and to see your children grow. I feel so bad. I know he's got a baby and one on the way, and I've got children. And I tried to keep him alive for his kids, that's all I was trying to do," said the neighbor. "Just a brutal thing, brutal video. A kid going to work to provide for his family, and some scumbag guns him down," said Alderman Nick Sposato. A spokesman with the Chicago Police Department later confirmed that two people were taken into custody for their alleged role in the shooting, but have not released their identities. They were later released due to a, quote, lack of evidence. Let's take a look at the raw numbers. While the Windy City is often the backdrop for hundreds of brutal murders and violent assaults any given year, the gunshot killing of a young white father in a relatively safe area of North Chicago has left residents on edge. So far, two people have been killed and 10 others injured from gun-related violence in Chicago last weekend alone. The ages of the victims range from 19 to 40, according to reports. On Thursday night, a group of armed robbers targeted multiple fast food eateries and liquor stores for quick cash across the city's north side. Police said shots were exchanged in one of the incidents, which culminated in a total of 6 armed robbery incidents still being investigated. According to estimates maintained by the U.S. Census Bureau in 2021, the city of Chicago remains a minority-majority hub, as the white population is only 32.91% non-Hispanic white. The White Paper's Policy Institute, which tracks the racial replacement of white people from their native homelands, asserts that Illinois was once 83.5% white in 1970. The WPPI says that top-down and intrinsically anti-white policy decisions have given way to a drastic demographic shift, however, and now only 60% of the population is listed as white per the most recent reports. When was the last time you called your mother? Our next story will have you reaching for the phone as a brave Missouri mom goes public after surviving an unspeakable act at the hands of what police say is a black predator.
This is the audio edition of the Justice Report's exclusive article, first published on May 13th, 2024. today's story. A black man is arrested for the violent rape of a white mother in her own home. Lee's Summit, Missouri. A white mother survived the unthinkable last week after police say a black man broke into her home and forcibly raped her. The harrowing assault lasted nearly 15 minutes and took place just a few rooms away from where her daughter and friends took shelter. On Monday, May 6th, police were called to the home of Sarah Bomarito, a young mother who reported a suspicious person. Bomarito, who is white, said the incident began when a strange person followed her and her children inside their home. "Hey, I think you're in the wrong house." That's what I said to him. "You're in the wrong house," Bomarito said in an interview with Fox 4 KC. Bomarito chased that person, later identified as black 20-year-old Khalil Malik Cooper, out of the residence and immediately dialed 911. But moments later, Cooper broke inside once again, this time through a different exterior door. He went to my front door and incessantly rang the bell, just over and over and over again, just pounding, she described. But by then, it was too late, and according to reports, the black suspect did the unthinkable by sexually assaulting Bomarito while her children took shelter upstairs. After 15 agonizing minutes, police finally arrived on the scene. Bomarito, who had been in touch with a 911 dispatcher over the course of the rape, believes that had the lone responding officer waited any longer for additional backup, she and her children may not have survived the assault. Police say the entire rape was recorded during the 911 call and will be used as evidence against Cooper. "The outcome of what happened to me is so different because of the officer that came in that side door and didn't wait. He didn't wait for backup," she said. The officer then wrestled with Cooper, pulling him off of Bomarito until he was eventually placed into custody with the help of responding officers. For the crime, Cooper now faces 3 felony charges, including 2 counts of sodomy, or attempted sodomy, as well as burglary. He currently sits in the Johnson County Jail and is held without bond. In the aftermath of the assault, Bomarito bravely stepped forward, recalling her experience. She hopes her story will help other women forced to deal with the grim eventualities of black predation whenever and wherever they might occur. "Before you do anything to destroy evidence, do not wash your hands, do not wash your body," she said in a tearful interview. "I wanted to set myself on fire. I wanted to be clean. I wanted all of those things. And you have to fight because you will destroy your evidence. So fight back." Despite Lee's Summit's dominant white population, which currently sits at 78.64% according to the latest U.S. Census report, crime still manages to strike deep inside this western Missouri town. Just last week, a gang of thieves driving stolen cars made off with an additional 7 vehicles after police said they drove their original rides out of fuel. While no suspects have been apprehended so far, local police urged residents to simply lock their doors. The brazen sexual assault of a white mother in broad daylight, however, is just the latest story tying black Americans to abhorrent interracial sex crimes. According to data maintained by the U.S. Department of Justice, over 100 white women are raped or sexually assaulted by black men every day in the United States. Despite making up less than 12% of the U.S. population, blacks are believed to commit 1 in every 3 rapes per the FBI. In 2013, a study conducted by John Gaskey, an associate professor at the University of Notre Dame's Mendoza College, concluded that 90% of interracial violent crimes in America were committed by blacks against whites. The data also alleged that black men were over 100 times more likely to rape a white woman than vice versa. Further studies into racial and ethnic differences also concluded that black youth, like 20-year-old Khalil Cooper, are 2.5 times as likely as white youth to have raped someone. Just this month, a black man was arrested for the January knife point rape and murder of a white woman on a nature trail in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. In that case, a lethargic police department drew ire from residents for its apparent lack of suspects until one was finally apprehended 1 month later. In Aurora, Colorado, a convicted black sex offender was arrested for trying to kidnap a young boy from the confines of his majority white elementary school. A follow-up investigation by the Justice Report revealed that the suspect, 33-year-old Solomon Tyler Galligan, had identified as transgender. In April, a Minneapolis police officer was arrested after he confessed to having sex with numerous victims of crimes he had personally responded to.
Have you ever faced intimidation for your religious, political, or racial beliefs? In Florida, one man is facing a crucible after an elected leader personally called for his termination, all because of his faith. More up next. Florida State Representative Randy Fine on Monday called for the termination of a Muslim dentist and imam over anti-Zionist rhetoric perceived in his online sermons. Fine, who is Jewish, even published his business address and phone number using official state letterhead. In a public X/Twitter post, Representative Randy Fine called on the Florida Board of Dentistry to suspend the dental license of a Muslim imam displaying anti-Israel sentiments on Facebook. He couched the demand by claiming the imam was, quote, openly advocating for violence against his own Jewish patients. The subject of the letter was Dr. Fadi Kablawi of North Miami, who Fine accused of having said, show us the black days that you inflict upon the Jews in the aftermath of October 7th, and equated Jews to, quote, brothers of apes and pigs. The letter goes on to insinuate that because most of Florida's Jews are Zionist, Dr. Kablawi wants to specifically kill all Floridian Jews, despite no evidence of this ever being produced. He then calls for an investigation into his activities. Why is this important? While Representative Fine is attempting to deperson Dr. Kablawi for using harsh language against the perpetrators of genocide in Gaza, Fine himself has openly called for the extermination of innocent Palestinians while in office. In June of 2021, Fine made headlines when he breathlessly urged that Israel use maximum force to tyrannically obliterate Palestinian peoples, who he likened to animals. When asked by one Facebook user about the Palestinian right to defend their homes from perceived Israeli bullying and theft of property, Fine ghoulishly replied with the hashtag, blow them up. Since Fine won his first election in 2016, the Republican has carved an impressive niche for himself as a staunch defender of Israel. He has gone on to happily sponsor ruthless anti-boycott, divest, and sanction laws, BDS, which make it illegal to avoid business dealings with Israel. In recent months, powerful figures in American politics have come out to flex bipartisan power against those who speak out against war crimes being perpetrated in Gaza. In April, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton called for Americans to use vigilante justice to forcibly remove pro-Palestine protests, up to and including throwing them from bridges. In Austin, Texas, dozens of students were arrested after police violently cracked down on a peaceful pro-Palestine sit-in at the University of Texas. The crackdown saw the use of batons, pepper spray, and horseback units, with Texas Governor Greg Abbott threatening expulsion for those daring to oppose Israel's interests on campus. Just last week, in an attempt to intimidate and paint those with pro-Palestine views as monsters, President Joe Biden and House Speaker Mike Johnson used their time at a Holocaust remembrance ceremony to liken modern-day anti-Israel campus protests to, quote, gas chambers. This concludes the free version of the Justice Report Weekend Review. Thank you for listening. To gain access to the full version of this recording, please consider becoming a paid subscriber to the Justice Report's website, Substack, or Odyssey channel, and keep up to date on all the latest headlines from around the world. independent journalism is often a difficult, time-consuming effort. And every interaction, share, and financial donation you make in support of our efforts here at the Justice Report helps keep the wheels spinning at a time when fact-based information is constantly under attack. With no corporate paymasters or political interest groups funding our operation, we rely solely on the support from readers and listeners like you. Thank you once again. We'll see you next week.